Okay, so we are going to talk about participating in the generosity of Jesus. So I wanted to just start by reading a few passages. Do something real quick. See what that does. Might help us out a little bit. I wanted to just read a couple of passages. Remember the story of Elijah and the woman with the jars of oil? Anybody remember that story? In 2 Kings chapter 4. And so you know the story, right? She was a recent widow. She had some sons, but she was in debt. Her husband had left her with a little bit of debt, okay? It's good if you can avoid that. You need to have some life insurance. Guys, we need some life insurance, right? I have a first cousin who's an estate attorney. So he'll tell you how much life insurance you should have and, you know, how to get your final affairs in order and whatnot. But I'll just give you some personal advice, men. You know, you need some life insurance, but don't put a price on your head. Don't go out and get a $5 million policy. That's too much. Get enough, but don't put a price on your head. So her husband had died, and I'm reading in 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 1. Now the wife of a member of the company of prophets cried to Elisha, "Your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that your servant feared the Lord, but a creditor has come to take my two children as slaves." So here's what would happen. If you were in debt, you know, they would turn you over to the collection agency. And the collection agency would come not to repossess the property, but if you had sons, they would take your sons, and your sons had to work off the debt. And the way that system worked, the way it got corrupted, was eventually it got to a point where they would keep your sons indefinitely. Like, let's say you owed them 10,000 shekels, and you had two sons, and they say, "Well, we'll take your sons, they'll work off the debt," and they pay your sons, you know, $10 a week. How long does it take to pay off that? I mean, they've got this free source of labor, as it were, for an indefinite period of time. So long story short, Elisha says, go get these. She had a little, the only thing she had of value was this little jar of oil, very expensive oil. She had just a little bit left. And he said, go get some jars. Borrow as many jars as you can. And so she borrowed all these jars. And he said, go outside, borrow vessels from all your neighbors, empty vessels, and not just a few. This is what Pastor Anthony was talking about, the big ask. He says, borrow a lot of jars, not just a few. And then go in and shut the door behind you and your children and start pouring into all these vessels. And when each vessel is full, I wouldn't have even gotten that far. What are you talking about? The vessel the oil is already in isn't even full, Elisha. What are you talking about? Fill up another vessel, a bigger vessel. The one that has the oil in it is not even full. But she did what she was told. And she poured, and she poured, and she poured, and she poured, and she kept pouring until, guess what? Half the vessels were full. Now wait, say it now. All. And what does all mean? It just means all. All the vessels were full. That's right. All the vessels that she went and collected were full. Sometimes we don't dream big enough. Like Pastor Anthony was saying, you know, why are we content to say, you know, Lord, my friend Tom has had a heart attack. Please don't let him die. Why aren't we praying, Lord, after this, I want my friend Tom to be healthier than he's ever been. I want him to feel better than he's ever felt. I want him to have more energy than he's ever had. I want him to be better than new. Our prayer isn't that, God, help us find a place where we can meet for church. You know, for all we need is 30 minutes. You know, we'll come in and we'll meet for 30 minutes and we'll hurry out. Lord, give us a place that we can use 24 hours a day, 7 days a week if we want to. Sometimes we don't think big enough. And I'm going to submit to you today, as we learn to participate in the generosity of Jesus, we not only don't think or dream about receiving big enough, we don't think and dream about giving big enough. Some of you are scratching your head now. It's like, oh man, I hope he shuts up fast because I think I know where he's going. I hope he gets hungry. Now you're dreaming big. You're back there praying, Lord Jesus, I pray that Pastor Bill gets so hungry he can't keep talking and that his mouth gets dry for a glass of water. I got plenty. Let's talk about generosity. If we talk about generosity, there has to be a source. Who's the source of generosity? Yeah. Can you think of some person or maybe some event in your life that you considered generous? The story we heard last night from Pastor Anthony, I mean, that's very generous. And you know, you might think, well, this guy's a billionaire with a B, and he only gave him, he could have given him $30 million. That would have been really generous, but if he prayed about it and the Lord told him or impressed upon him, because see, here's what you got to know. Sometimes we need a little skin in the game. We need a hand up a lot of times, don't we? We need a hand up, but we got to have some skin in the game. What I have found in my life, I've been doing camp ministry since 1992. First camp that I ever worked at was in Orr, Minnesota on Pelican Lake when I was in college at Ambassador University. And in doing camp ministry, sometimes we have campers that can't afford to come to camp. So we send them to camp. And most of the time they're very grateful, but once in a while, you'll have somebody that kind of games the system, right? They get a scholarship to come to camp, not because their parents really can't afford it, but they'd rather spend their money somewhere else. And what happens when we don't have any skin in the game sometimes is if you give somebody something, a lot of times they don't value it as much as if they had to help earn it. Participation. What we're talking about. So maybe in the $30,000, God told this billionaire with a B, give him some help, but don't do it all, because I will not do what I'm going to do in this church without them. And if you give them all the money, they might not participate. They might not have to participate. God would have us participate in all that he is doing. And what does all mean again? It means all. God would have us participate in all that he's doing. In Matthew 6, Jesus talks about giving to the poor. That's an important part of our giving, is giving to the poor. That's why you give to the church, because your pastor is poor. Not every pastor is poor, but most GCI pastors are. But we're rich in other ways. You remember in Matthew 12, the story of the widow's mite? What did Jesus say about the rich people that were giving large offerings? He said, that's bad, don't do that. No, he didn't say that. All he said was, look at this widow who only had these two little coins. Look at that. She gave everything that she had. Sometimes we don't give in the church just because we're afraid that we won't have enough. It's just the way it is. Participating in the generosity of Jesus is about knowing that you will always have what you need. One of my favorite toasts, it's an old Scottish toast, and it goes like this: may we always get what we want. And may we always get what we need. But may we never get what we deserve. That's the good news of the gospel. We will always, Jesus will always make sure we have what we need. And a lot of the times he gives us what we want, if what we want is good for us. But we rarely ever get what we deserve. Participating in the generosity of Jesus just means that we give out of a sense of confidence in the Father's provision. Jesus can give without any fear of want because he is connected to an infinite source of anything. He's connected to the infinite resource. Who can tell me about a just something generous that you know about that happened? Or maybe it's something that you did. I've got this microphone, we can record it. I mean, you can brag on yourself a little bit. Yes, ma'am.
I don't know if anybody is aware of the founder of McDonald's. Well, he died. He was married 3 times. And his last wife, who has passed away, all of the money that she had was given to the Salvation Army, which is a Christian organization, and they have built community centers in at least 6 or 7 states, and the last one that was built was in Camden, New Jersey, and it is such a wonderful outreach to the community, and they make it so affordable for everyone. But also, too, when they come into the walls of that community center, the gospel is being preached there.
Wonderful. Anybody else have a story about generosity? Yes, ma'am. Can I get a runner for this microphone? Yeah. I'm trying to learn to say no, too.
This happened to me when I was had just come into the Worldwide Church of God. When I came in, right after I became was baptized, I lost my job. And the salary I was making wasn't that much anyway. So I had to go to social services to file for help. And so my light bill came up, and I said, oh, my God, I don't have enough to pay my light bill. And so I went down to the office and told them I want to pay part of it. So they pulled my record up and they said, looked at me, said, your light bill has been paid. I say, what? I say, well, who would pay my light bill? They don't know that I have this need. So I went home and I just sit down and wonder. And about a month later, I found out who paid it. It was a member of the church. And that was, it blew my mind. And I said, thank God for you.
Wonderful. Well, just for the sake of time, who can think of the most generous act throughout the course of human history? God so loved the world that he gave. And I want you to understand that John 3:16 is not just about the cross. That's your Christmas passage. That's your Christmas passage. That's your Easter passage. That's your Tuesday after Easter passage. That's your Pentecost passage. That's your Father loves and likes you passage. Because God the Father gave Jesus fully to us forever. Yes. Forever. And in every moment. And Jesus is generous. I'm going to read you from Paul, because we're not going to be much longer. In 2 Corinthians 9. Second Corinthians chapter 9. You know what I'm going to read. Beginning in verse 6. There were three letters that Paul wrote to Corinth. And if I've got this right, I think we have letters 1 and 3. The second letter was so much like the book of Romans that it didn't need to be canonized in 454 at the Council of Chalcedon. So we have two of the three letters that Paul wrote to Corinth. And if you read the two that we have in the New Testament, in our New Testament Bible, he's kind of doing some pastoral correction. So if he had to write those people three letters, he might have even written them more. We just know about three. They were just like me, hard-hearted and stubborn. And, you know, I don't know if you're that way sometimes too. Paul says the point is this. The one who sows sparingly also reaps sparingly, and the one who sows bountifully also reaps bountifully. And don't get confused. We're not going where you might think. We're not going with, brother, you need to sow into this ministry. We're not doing that. We're not doing that. But I am going to read you what the Rhema of God, that's word with a small W. I'm going to read you what the Rhema of God, which was given to us by the Logos of God, that's word with a capital W, right? So we are going to read what the word says. The point is this, the one who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and the one who sows bountifully will reap bountifully. That just makes sense. I grew up on a farm. And my daddy never would have thrown a handful of seeds out the back door and expected to harvest, you know, 25 acres of corn. I mean, you need a checkup from the neck up if that's what you call farming. You're doing it wrong. Each of you must give as you have made up your mind, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to provide you with every blessing in abundance so that by always having enough of everything, you may share abundantly. Hello! I've heard so many people preach this passage to mean that if I give a lot, God will give me a lot. Anybody ever heard that? Well, that's just scuba-la. Paul says God gives you a lot, not because you gave a lot. He gives you a lot so you can give a lot. Does that make sense? God gives us so we can give. Think about a water wheel. Anybody know how a water wheel works? Not far from where my daddy grew up is a grist mill, and that's where they would load a cart and take a cart load of corn. You know, you sell what corn you're going to sell, and then you always save some back to have it ground at the grist mill. So you take your corn to the grist mill, and it was powered by a water wheel. And there was a stream and a dam and the mill pond, right? And you got this water wheel. And the water wheel is constantly being filled, and then it's constantly spilling out. And then it's constantly being refilled, and it's constantly spilling out. And it's in the filling and the spilling that the work gets done. It's in the filling and the spilling that the belts and the wheels and the gears and the grist mill start turning. And if we want to see the work get done, we've got to recognize that Jesus is the water who is filling us, and then we're supposed to be spilling out. He is filling and spilling. And it's not always about our finances. It's not always about money. It's about time. It's about listening, like Pastor Anthony talked about. You want to spill out on somebody? Just sit and listen to them for a couple of hours. Jesus does the filling, and he does the spilling. We're just along for the ride. We're here to participate. You know, in Acts, we're told that Jesus said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. There's a modifier there. It's more blessed to give than receive. So if it's more, then there must be some. If it's more blessed to give, it must be some blessed to receive. So how are you going to bless somebody if you don't give? In order for someone to have the blessing of receiving, somebody has to have the blessing of giving. And that's sometimes what we miss. Sometimes the blessing is in the giving. The blessing is just knowing that we're participating with Jesus. I'll read you from an essay by Carn Griffin. It's in a collection of essays called Theological Foundations for Ministry. And on page 39, Carn Griffin is actually quoting Ray Anderson, and he says, "Because I meet my own real existence, when I act in love toward the other, I see beyond his actual existence with its limitations and immaturities. I do not merely tolerate him. I see his reality as a person." So here's what pop psychology knows. They might not know the why, but they know the how. Pop psychology will tell you that if you are depressed, you need to find a way to go serve other people. If you're suffering with clinical depressions, one of the first things you can do to feel a little bit better, at least short term, maybe long term, is you go to a soup kitchen and start serving other people. Well, how does that work? It works because you are created in the image of a God who is other-centered and ontologically love. So when you act in love toward another person, you are experiencing your own truest reality. And who doesn't want to experience their true self? So when I give, I'm experiencing more of my true self. I'm not going to step on any toes, hopefully. But I know, I tried to get some stats on this just in GCI, but I know at least a half a dozen pastors who are in the top 10 percentile just in terms of, not percentages, but in actual dollar amounts that they give to their church that they serve. How is that possible? How is it possible that I'm talking about salaried pastors who take a salary from the church. How is it that the pastor who makes maybe $35,000 a year, how is it that that pastor is giving in total dollar amount more than 90% of the other folks in that church? It's just not supposed to be. It's not supposed to be that way. How is it that in North America, the average typical Christian spends more for their cable television package than they donate to the church? Certainly more for their cell phone plan than they donate to the church. And we're being filled constantly. Jesus is constantly filling us. Some of us must be about ready to burst because we ain't spilling out nowhere. We got to start spilling. It's time to spill out. I'll tell you a personal story, not to build myself up, but just to tell you, hey, I'm like you. I'm like everybody else. You know, money's tight from time to time, and you know, we do without. sometimes, don't we? Because we just don't have the resources to do everything. And our wants are outweigh, the expense of our wants outweighs our resources and means a lot of times. I know it does for me. I'm thankful that I married Davina because she is more fiscally responsible than I am. And so I wanted, one of my hobbies, I teach blacksmithing at two of our summer camps. One of my hobbies is blacksmithing, and I wanted a torch set so I could cut scrap metal into more manageable pieces that I could then forge into other things. And man, I was looking at, you know, so expensive to, you know, you got to rent these tanks and it's a monthly fee. But if you don't want to rent the tanks, then you got to buy tanks, and that's like super expensive to get into. So I got on Craigslist and I found two tanks, an acetylene tank and an oxygen tank. I drove all the way to Hampton Roads, picked them up. I was so excited for I got both tanks a total for $100, and I was like, I can't believe it. I'm finally going to, and I found a torch on Craigslist. It'd never been used. It was a Victor. It was the best torch you could get, and I got it for $75 from this guy, and I was like, you know, I came close to going over budget, but I was there, and Davina was encouraging me the whole time. I was like, yeah, we saved this money up for this purpose, and you're going to get a torch. And I was so excited. I took my torches the next Monday. I took them to the place to have them filled, and they said, we can't fill these tanks. I'm like, what do you mean? He goes, well, these are not owner tanks. These are rental tanks. I'm like, no, I own them. I don't know what you mean, but I own these tanks. Because I gave that dude $100. They are mine. And he goes, no, 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 you see, these size tanks are only manufactured for rentals. I'm like, I don't know what you mean. I just need you to fill them up. So how much to fill up the tanks? The guy's like, sir, you really don't understand. He said, what I'm trying to tell you is these tanks are stolen. I'm like, doggone it. Because not only do I not have tanks, I'm $100 in the hole. And the guy's like, well, these tanks do. And I mean, I took them to this one particular company because it had their name on them. I'm like, well, yeah, I'll let them fill them up. Must be where the guy bought them. So the guy's like, he said, you know, typically what we do in a case like this is we just take possession of the tanks. He said, but because you're a pastor, I mean, because I'm not ashamed. Yeah, but I don't make that much money. I'm a pastor, and I've been saving up, and, you know, my kids, one of my kids only has one shoe. She has to hop on one foot to get us to the school bus. So he's like, look, I tell you what, you keep the tanks and go give them back to the guy, tell him he needs to turn them in, and see if you can get your money back. I text the guy, and, you know, the text got really ugly because he was using some words. But I didn't get my money back. And that Sunday at church, it was time for the offering. And the Holy Spirit said to me, give an extra $100 in the offering. I'm like, no. You must not have seen what happened. Because I not only don't normally give $200 in the weekly offering, I lost $100, so it really is like giving $300. And as we're singing the last song before the offering, and as we're singing it more and more, I'm really hearing that I'm going to learn something. Trust me is what I just knew. I have to trust. I have to trust. What am I so afraid of? It's just money. And so I did it. And I didn't get this guy ever to agree to give me my money back. So Monday I took the tanks back over, talked to the same guy, and he tells me, he says, look, he said, I didn't think you'd bring these back. Well, I did, so they're yours. They belong to you. So, I helped him unload them, and he said, you know, I'm the regional manager for all of our outlets from New Jersey all the way to Georgia. I just happened to be here for 2 weeks working on some personnel changes. And he said, come inside. Let's see what we can do. He gave me an owner set of tanks. They're a little bit smaller, and he gave them to me at one-third the cost. And when I did the math on everything I was going to have to buy, and, oh, he filled them for me for free. And when I ran the numbers, I was $100 to the good. You see, God didn't give me because I gave. He gives to me so I can give. So the blessing for me in that moment was not that I would have gotten my tanks anyway if I hadn't bought stolen tanks. If I'd done a little research and showed up and the guy was like, bro, those are rental size tanks. I can't buy those from you. If I'd done just some basic homework, I'd have known that. I wouldn't have gotten in that situation. God bailed me out of a situation that I'd gotten myself into. But it was the blessing for me was in the giving, because in the giving I learned to trust. And look, if we don't support our churches, they're not going to be a church. And what I want you to know is that God can do it without you. But what kind of God would He be if He did it without you? Man, when I was a little kid on our farm, all I wanted to do was whatever my dad was doing. And it used to really hurt me as a little guy when there were things I couldn't do. You know, when my dad was putting implements on the tractor, and he's backing up the tractor to hitch onto a gang disc or a plow or something like that, or a mower. He didn't want me anywhere. He would say, you go stand on the back stoop, is what we called it. Because we had closed in our back porch, so we just had this little concrete stoop. You go stand on the stoop so I can see you. Because he wanted to know where I was. Because he'd heard too many stories about people running over their kids with farm equipment or what have you. So he knew if he could see me standing on the stoop, I wasn't going to be under the wheel when he backed up the tractor. And it used to bother me because I wanted to help. I can put the pins in. You know, I can, no. That was not for me. Later, when I was older, sure. All I wanted to do was help my dad. And guess what? All my dad wanted was for me to help him. And he could do it by himself, but he didn't want to. God the Father can do whatever He is doing without us, but He doesn't want to, because He is a relational God who is involved in your life and would have you in relationship with Him in the business of the kingdom. So it's time to get involved in the business of the kingdom. Pray all the time. Give generously of your time. Give generously of your resources, and know that the blessing is in the fact that you are being and doing out of a center in Christ. That your doing comes from your being, and your being is in Christ, hidden in Christ. You can't even mess it up, because it's hidden in Christ. So just do out of your being. And what I know about you is that you are generous with the generosity of Jesus Christ. Promise I'm almost done. Paul says in Philippians 4:17, he talks about the Philippian church's generosity. Let me read it in conclusion. Verse 17, or I'll read from verse 15. He says, "You Philippians indeed know that I am in the early days of the gospel. Know that in the early days of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving except you alone." There was one church that was helping Paul support his ministry, and that was the Philippian church. And he says, "For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent help for my needs more than once. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the profit that accumulates to your account." You know what the Greek word for profit there is? It doesn't have anything to do with greed. The Greek word is karpon. And it literally translates the fruit born out of seed. When we're generous to our churches, we see people reached with the good news of Jesus Christ. When we're generous to our local churches, we see a portion of that go to our denominational headquarters. So we see videos like You're Included, where people are being reached for the gospel. We have folks like Anthony, who's paid out of the denominational budget to help build up interns. Pastor Jeff Broadnax, who's now our Gen Men leader, helping develop and support our summer camps. Our generous donations go to help our summer camps and to pay your pastors. To do the work of the kingdom, to grind the mill of the kingdom. Jesus does the filling, never forget. Leads you into the spilling so that the gears and the wheels and the belts that do the work of the kingdom can turn. And this is the sowing, the karpon, out of which the fruit grows. So just do out of your being. You're generous. So be generous. With the generosity of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, I feel like we are set free on this day to be generous like we've never been generous before, to trust you in our generosity, that as the water spills out, there will be more yet coming that will fill us as you spill us for the kingdom. Thank you for it in Jesus' name.